Let's look together in God's Word in Romans chapter number 15. Romans chapter number 15, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. And this is the fourth lesson in our series, The Treasures of Darkness. And the title of this lesson is The Patience and Comfort of the Scriptures. Let's read Romans chapter 15 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God." Then look with me again in verse number 4, in the latter part of the verse. The Bible says that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And there we have the title of the lesson, The Patience and Comfort of the Scriptures. And Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and he's talking to them, he's speaking to them under the inspiration of God about the way in which they should behave themselves. And certainly all of us who know the Lord should behave like Christians. Most importantly, we should know that we're saved, and we should be telling others how they can know the Lord and be saved themselves. But the Bible is given to us so that we might know the Lord, so that we might know how to live our lives. And the Bible is the book of the believer. It is the sole authority in our lives for matters of faith and practice. And we should submit to it. We should yield to it. And the Apostle Paul tells us that it is through the Scripture that we receive patience and comfort, and that we have hope. And we're living in a world filled with trouble. And there's no doubt that all of us need patience and we need hope. Look with me, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. As we speak of the Bible, the Apostle Paul is speaking here to the church at Corinth, and he's speaking to them, and he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after things as they also lusted." Now notice what Paul says. He's speaking here of the story of Moses leading the children of Israel. And he said that these things were written for our examples. The Bible in its entirety is for us. All of it. It's all God's Word. It's infallible. There's no error in it. And it is for our lives. It is applicable to our lives. Many of us have heard churches and preachers trying to promote some of the things they're doing, and you often hear this phrase, "We have relevant preaching." Well, if they're preaching God's Word, it certainly is relevant. It's relevant to all of our lives. And so, as the Apostle Paul is teaching us, that we should be involved in study of the Scriptures, learning the Bible, so that we might have patience and comfort of the Scriptures and also have hope. Now, let's look inside the lesson sheet, and there are three things I want to call to your attention in this lesson. First of all, we find it again in verse number 4. Look at the beginning of the verse. The Bible said, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." Underscore that phrase in your Bible, "for our learning." And we see the first thing that we notice here is the way we learn, the way we learn. How do we learn? We learn from reading the Word of God. We don't simply read it as you would read the newspaper. We don't simply read it to fulfill an obligation or to finish our checklist for the day of things to do. But we read God's Word and we pray and we ask God to speak to us through His Word and teach us the great truths that are in it. Oftentimes, we speak of the Bible and our obligation or our responsibility. And as we think of that, we must always remember that God has a message to communicate to us. Look in Acts chapter 8. We see a great example of that in Acts chapter 8. And we find it in verse number 30. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 30. Philip has been sent on a mission. And as he is on his mission, he meets an Ethiopian eunuch. And the Lord, by His Spirit, says to Philip, go draw near to this man. And as he draws near, he hears Philip as he's reading the Bible. And he's reading the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And look with me in verse number 30. Philip ran thither to him, and he heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said unto him, understandest thou what thou readest? Now, what was he reading? He was reading the portion of Scripture that talked about the sacrifice the Lord Jesus made for us, that He bore our sin in His body, that by His stripes we are healed. And as he's reading this, Philip draws near to him and says, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I except some man show me? And Philip began to preach the Scripture to him and preach Christ to him. And that man, through what he had read and what Philip had helped him come to understand, that man was saved and entered into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we must understand, as we read the Bible, we're not reading it for information. We're not reading it out of obligation, but we should read it to learn what God wants to say to us. Now, the reading material that is given for us as we prepare the lesson, the pastor speaks often of the Old Testament, the great stories of the Bible, and he gives us three instances from the Old Testament, that of the life of Noah, that of the life of David, and also the Hebrew children. And the great lesson here is not that these men accomplished things or did things that were wonderful, but that God was working in their lives. God was manifesting His grace. God was keeping His promises. God was showing them that through their obedience, He was going to meet their needs. And so as we read God's Word, we must pray and ask God to give us understanding. And then as we learn, we share what we learn with others. Not only what we learn, but how God taught us things as we're learning them. David said, open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. And that certainly should be our prayer. So we see, number one, the way we learn. Then secondly, the way we live. What we learn should affect the way we conduct our lives. Look with me back in our text again in Romans chapter 15. And we'll look again in verse number 4. He said, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. We're talking now about the way we live, and the way we live should be characterized by patience and also by comfort. Now, you think about the way of the world. You think about the people of the world as they're going about in their lives today. They're perplexed, they're busy, they're stressed, they're pressured. They're anxious about many things. Those things should not characterize the life of a Christian. We should be patient. We should have comfort. And we think about patience, we think about our attitude toward the Lord. What is our attitude toward God? It should be one of trusting in the Lord. And if our attitude toward God is not what it should be, then our attitude toward men certainly won't be what it should be. And the first way and the easiest way to see our attitude toward God is wrong is to see our attitude toward other men as it's manifested. Many of us have had people do things that are wrong to us, or maybe we didn't get the promotion at work, or somebody cut us off on the interstate, or our neighbors did something they shouldn't have done to us. And our first instinct is to get back at that fella, you know. We say, well, you know, somebody's got to stand up. I've just got to stand up for myself. The truth of the matter is, we shouldn't be worried about standing up for ourselves. We should be on our knees in prayer, asking God to help us be patient. The Lord said, ye shall hold your peace, and I shall fight for you. Many people want to fight instead of putting their faith and trust in the Lord. Now, the Lord Jesus is our example for this. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, we see the example that the Lord Jesus Christ has set for us. We know that He is our example. Supremely, He is our Savior, and we thank God for that. But as our Savior, He certainly sets an example by which we must follow. Look in verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who, when He was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. Now think of the way the Lord Jesus was treated. Certainly if there had been any man who had ever walked the face of the earth that deserved honor and respect and love and kindness from mankind, it was the Lord Jesus. But yet he was spat upon, he was mocked, he was beaten, he was reviled. And the Bible said when he was threatened, he threatened not again. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. But look at the latter part of verse 23. Committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Here's patience. He's saying, it's not in me to take up my cause. I'm going to commit myself to the righteous judge. And by the way, if we'll commit ourselves to the righteous judge, he'll certainly take care of the thing and take care of it much more efficiently and in a much greater way than we ever could. So we must learn to have patience. That's trusting in the Lord. Now, as we learn to trust the Lord, then God brings comfort into our lives. He comforts us and gives us peace. So we see the way we learn. How do we learn? We learn from the Scripture, reading it for understanding, praying, asking God to speak to us. Then secondly, as we learn also how to live, and we conduct our lives that way. Then finally, we see the way we look. Look again with me in the fourth verse here in our text in Romans chapter 15. He says that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Underline that word there, hope. The life of the Christian should be characterized by hope. The world is cynical. The people of this world are cynical. They're always looking for the secret, or they're always looking for the loophole if you try to be kind to them. People are cynical. But the Christian's life should be characterized by hope. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 8 as we continue on in Romans chapter 15. The Bible said, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the Father." So the Lord Jesus Christ is confirming his promises to us. Now look down with me in verse 13. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Look at the phrase, the God of hope and abound in hope. How are we to abound in hope? We're to abound in hope through the God of hope. That word abound means more than what is necessary. God has given us more than what is necessary. He's given us more hope. And that's why when we're in the dark times, when we're going through the dark days, as we've learned from God's word, as we've learned to be patient and live patiently, as God has comforted us, we have hope. And the way we look, not talking about the way we appear to people, but the way we look at life and we look at the circumstances of life is a hopeful look. It is the way God wants us to live. And so how are we to do that? We're to get in God's word and let God's word get in our lives. Now the pastor closes with a great illustration here, and I want you not to miss this. Acts chapter number 6, and we'll close here. Acts chapter number 6. This is the early church, the New Testament church, and things are going wonderfully. You have the Spirit of God being poured out there at Pentecost, and thousands of people are being saved, and the Word of God has free course, and God is doing wonderful things. But I want you to look in verse number 1 of chapter number 6. The Bible said, "In those days when the numbers of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." There was trouble. There was trouble in the church. And it looked like the thing could come apart. Look with me in verse 2. "Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." God had allowed a problem to come into that church because they had gotten so busy they had neglected the very thing that we need the most, and that is to give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And time and time and time again, God brings every one of us to the place where we realize our great need for his word and for a life of communion and prayer in him. That's the basics, and yet it is the thing which we neglect the most. If we don't neglect it, God will give us hope. He'll give us patience. He'll give us comfort. And we'll learn what he would have us to learn.